Chapter 9. The Voyage Continues. Days and weeks passed as the Pequod sailed slowly and easily through four different hunting grounds, the first one being near the Azores. She went south from there to a second one near Cape Verde, south again to the mouth of the River Plate, and then northeast across the South Atlantic Ocean to the island of St. Helena. It was while we were sailing in the South Atlantic that something strange happened. It was on a calm, bright night when all the small waves looked as if they were made from silver. Suddenly, there was a cry from Fandala at the main masthead.
"There she blows!"
We all rushed to the bow and saw the high, silver-colored spout of a sperm whale far away in front of the ship. Night after night, we would hear Fadala make the same shout and see the same silver-colored spout far in the distance. Normally, no captain will hunt whales during the night, but each time Ahab ordered us to sail toward the spout as fast as possible. We never found the whale, and some of the more superstitious seamen were sure that it was the spout of Moby Dick himself, leading us to our deaths. Soon, we had other things to think about as we reached the Cape of Good Hope at the far south of Africa and had to sail the Pequod through the huge, stormy seas the Cape is famous for. Each man tied himself to the ship with a rope so that he could move around the deck without being carried into the sea by the enormous waves. We did not often speak as the ship rushed on through those wild seas. Ahab would stand for hours looking out to sea, sometimes with rain running down his face and even half-melted snow on his eyelashes. I could tell that he was thinking always about Moby Dick. When we were southeast of the Cape, in the hunting ground for right whales, I was the lookout on one of the mastheads one day when I saw a ship in the distance. As she came closer to us, I, a seaman new to whaling, saw for the first time a whaling ship which had been on its voyage for 4 years. The ship was called the Albatross, and she was from Nantucket. She was still hunting for whales, so there was enough oil to take home. The wood was white, as if the ship was a skeleton. The rigging was covered with frost, and the lookouts on the mastheads had long, rough beards. As she sailed past us slowly, the six men on the mastheads of the two ships were so close to each other that we could almost have jumped across to the other ship. However, those sad-looking, tired whalers on the Albatross looked at us, but did not say a word. You may wonder why a ship and her men should look like this. The answer is that a whaling ship never touches land. But how? Does the crew drink air? A ship must stop for water, mustn't it? No. A whaling ship is not like any other ship. She carries everything she needs in her huge hold. There are so many barrels of drinking water that they would fill a lake. They last for several years, so whaling ships never need to stop in harbors. The men work all the time and may see no one other than other whalers till finally they arrive home. That day, I heard our captain shout a question to the Albatross, which I was to hear him shout to many ships' captains from now on.
"Have you seen the white whale?"
However, on this occasion, by accident, the captain dropped his speaking trumpet into the sea as he started to speak. I thought that the dropping of the speaking trumpet into the sea at the mention of Moby Dick was an ominous sign, and so did the other sailors. We never heard what the captain of the Albatross was going to say, because Ahab would not stop to hear him. He raised his own speaking trumpet to his lips and shouted,
"This is the Pequod, on a voyage round the world. Tell them that in Nantucket,"
as the Pequod sailed on. I felt afraid when I heard Ahab's words, "round the world." I began to suspect that all we were going to do on this voyage was experience danger after danger in order just to get back to where we had started from. I soon discovered that, having asked his question, Ahab would only talk with another captain if there was some news of Moby Dick. Indeed, he got some news from the next ship we met. The captain told Ahab about finding a huge, beautiful white whale in the Pacific Ocean, west of Peru. The captain, the mates, and the harpooners had all wanted to catch this white whale, which they had heard so many stories about. However, when they attacked it, it attacked one of their whaleboats, killing the helmsman who had lanced it. After we had gone round the Cape of Good Hope, and as we went northeast toward the Indian Ocean, we seemed to be sailing through huge fields of yellow corn. Yellow was the color of the tiny sea animals which right whales feed on. On the second day of sailing through these creatures, I saw from a masthead a number of right whales, cutting blue paths through the yellow fields with their huge open mouths. When their mouths closed, the whales looked like huge black rocks. We did not hunt right whales, because the Pequod's job was to catch sperm whales, whose oil is much more valuable than oil from right whales. So we sailed on.